It gives me great pleasure to introduce the speaker for today, His Grace Gaurari Prabhu. Gaurari Prabhu came to Krishna consciousness in 1996 when he joined IIT Bombay for his BTech program. So during his studies, he was preaching very enthusiastically, and many of the brahmacharis in our ashram, including myself, were brought to Krishna consciousness primarily because of his efforts only. So in 2000, when Gaurari Prabhu finished his BTech, then he went on to do his PhD abroad, and then he excelled even in his professional career, and IIT Bombay was more than happy to take him as a professor once again. So right now Gaurari Prabhu is working as a professor in IIT Bombay in the field of computer science, and he's also trying to give this message of Bhagavad Gita and Krishna consciousness to whomsoever he meets in the campus, and trying to present this knowledge in a very scientific light also. So today he'll be speaking on the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam under the lecture series Krishnaika Sharanam. The title is The Original Origin. The Original Origin. And so let us welcome Gaurari Prabhu by loudly chanting Hari Bhau! Hari Bhau!
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna. Welcome you all to the series of Sunday Feast lectures entitled Krishnaika Sharanam. And today's topic is the origin of all origins. I would like to do a small recap to get the context right. Last class was entitled Perfect Questions, Perfect Answers. And it was about questions and answers which are for everyone's benefit. I might ask a question to my colleague, to my seniors, a question whose answer might benefit me, but is there a question whose answer will benefit everyone at all times, in all circumstances? So His Grace Madhavananda Prabhu in the last class, he talked about a beautiful dialogue between Shripad Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where the questions were very sincerely brought out by actually Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, to Ramananda Rai about the ultimate perfection of life. You have similar questions in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Amal Puran, Spotless Puran. The first and second chapters of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, actually the first chapter of the first canto, is filled with very sincere questions by the sages in Naimisharanya. And they have been discussed here. We'll recap these questions for the benefit of everyone. There were six questions. And today's class is basically an answer to the second half of these questions. The first question is, Tatra tatran jayusman bhavata yad vinishchitam pumsam ekantata shreyas tanna shamsitum arhasi. Please, therefore, being blessed with many years, explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. So everyone wants easy to assimilate, easy to understand, easy to digest capsules, right? During my days, I went so many coaching classes, but nowadays there are lots of coaching classes which try to present your SSC or JEE syllabus in very easy to understandable package. But I heard that there are sometimes notes on top of the classes to make the subject even more easy to understand. So there's this tendency to make things as easy, as simple, as sublime, as simple and easy as possible. So this is an inquiry presented. And the answer to this question comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, sixth verse, where Shukadeva Goswami explains, Savai pumsam paro dharmo yadho bhaktir adokshache ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidate. What is the most essential, the most easy to understandable, essential summary of that which is for the ultimate good of everyone? That is, performing that occupation by which one can attain to loving devotional service unto the Supreme Transcendental Lord. That devotional service which is unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self, by which the self is completely satisfied. We were recently in Ratnagiri and I had a very strong realization there. We had a lot of mango feasts and some mango feasts were in the middle of mango trees. I can imagine, ripe of the tree. But one gentleman, I asked him, "You're not having mangoes?" Our dear Anandan Prabhu, he was eating only mangoes in lunch. So I asked his devotee, "You're not having any mangoes?" He said, "No, I am tired of mangoes." So I thought, if someone in this world can get tired of mangoes, definitely nothing can satisfy us in this material world. So here is explained that devotional service, on the other hand, can completely satisfy the self. As Srila Prabhupada, in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, explains, the nature of service, nature of selfless service is something that satisfies the person completely. But sometimes in the name of taking service, we actually land up giving service. In this world, every person serves someone else. In the extreme case, one is simply serving his own senses. So this tendency to serve is very strongly rooted. The second question was, there are many varieties of scriptures, so many scriptures. And in all of them, there are many prescribed duties. This scripture says do this scripture says do that, which can be learned only after many years of study in the various divisions. To understand that, also have to spend several years. So, therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, such that by such instruction, our hearts can get completely satisfied. So, what is the instruction? This comes in the second chapter of the first canto, seventh verse. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janatyashi Vairagyam Jnanam Yatcha Yat Ahitukam. By rendering devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from this world. So this was the second answer, second question, second answer. The third question goes as follows. This is relevant for today's class. Suta janasi badram te bhagavan satvatam patihi devakyam vasudevasya jato yasya chikirshaya. All blessings upon you, O Suta Goswami. You know for what purpose the personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as a son of Vasudev. So implicitly, the sages are expressing their desire to know what are the pastimes that Lord Krishna had when he appeared on this planet. So what were the activities of that personality who appeared in the womb of Devaki? So the answer to this question comes both in the second chapter, somewhat in the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, and also in the 10th chapter, where the details of all of Lord Krishna's pastimes are elaborated. A summary is given in the second chapter. So our Jiva Goswami explains that when the sages are presenting this question, they are actually wanting to know what are the activities of the Lord in this world. In one sense, what are the activities of the Lord in terms of creation in this world? So the answer is given here. Does the Lord of the universes maintains all planets inhabited by demigods, men and lower animals? Assuming the roles of incarnations, he performs pastimes to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. Is there a verse in Bhagavad Gita which is similar? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yoge yoge. Whenever things start gliding down terribly in this world, the Lord himself advents to reclaim the fallen souls. There are two purposes described here. One is to establish law and order. Law and order, establishing law and order generally means get rid of the miscreants. Right? Law and order is actually there. I heard the statement that the Mother Nature will flourish perfectly if all species of life exist, but one is eliminated, which is that? Human beings. Because they are the only miscreants. So the Lord, he advents first to establish law and order. Lokan vai loka bhavanaha. And the second reason he advents is to reclaim those in the mode of pure goodness. Those who really want him, he comes to reclaim them. But this is further elaborated in the third chapter, which we are going to talk about today. And the fourth question, his transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learned sages like Narada sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So not only why he comes, what he does, but we want to know the details, the adventures of the Lord. So these are about the activities of creation that the Lord takes, Lord conducts in this material world. The fifth question, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord's multifarious incarnations. So, this is the main subject matter for today, the different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sixth question, this is very important. Bruhi Yogeshwara Krishne Brahmanye Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Adunopete Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Yes, Lord Krishna has performed so many pastimes, he has so many incarnations, but when Shri Krishna, the master of all mystic powers, Yogeshwara, departed for his own abode, please tell us, whom have these religious principles now gone for shelter? What happens to them? So we will actually start the class with answer to this question, the sixth question. The answer to the sixth question is very nicely given in the third canto, 39th verse, towards the end of the third chapter, 39th verse. Ateha dhanya bhagavantam ittham yad vasudeve khila lokanatha kurvanti sarvat makamatma bhavam nayatra bhuyah parivarta ugraha. First, Shukadeva Goswami says, excellent questions you've asked. Very good questions you've asked. Very often the simplest of questions are the most profound, the best questions. I remember many of my classmates, and when I was doing my first year BTech, many of my classmates would be very fearful of asking questions. The prof goes on teaching. You experience that? Everyone has the same question, but nobody asks. But one thing I used to do is I used to just raise my hand and ask questions. I'm very fearless when it comes to asking questions. So I used to just raise my hand and ask some very simple basic question. The prof used to be so happy. He used to feel very happy. He used to come and congratulate me for the question. Sometimes the simplest of questions, which everyone assumes, others know, but I don't know. It's very shy to ask. But they can be the most profound. So he's saying, yes, you have made such perfect inquiries. Very basic inquiries. What is the ultimate good for everyone? Very good inquiry. What should I be doing now and what should I be doing towards the end of my life? Excellent inquiries. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant. For such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love. Of course, my inquiries did not, but these inquiries are capable of invoking transcendental ecstatic love unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantees 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. What a guarantee! No organization, no financial institution in this world can give. Iceland, many financial organizations came and there seemed to be a financial boom at some point of time. But for those who have seen this documentary, The Inside Job, you'll see, just came crashing. Financial institutions sometimes make promises, but they can't uphold. They really can't uphold. But here is a promise that is upheld. Till date, this is a promise made more than 5,000 years back, at least 5,000 years back, and it's still upheld. Interesting thing is, in answering this question, in one sense, Shukadev Goswami is answering all other questions. To answer this question, the last question, sixth question, what happened when Krishna disappeared? He is going to discuss the instructions of Krishna, the glories of Krishna, and that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So what happened when Krishna disappeared? Srimad Bhagavatam appeared. And when Srimad Bhagavatam appears, which is what Shukadev Goswami is speaking, every other detail is also answered because of the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this very clearly indicates that Srimad Bhagavatam is not simply an ordinary fact. Frequently asked questions. It's not just a compilation of six frequently asked questions. No. This is incarnation of Lord. It's literary incarnation. In the third chapter, Shukadev Goswami goes on to describe so many incarnations of the Lord. Beautiful descriptions. But at the end he says, this is a literary incarnation, Srimad Bhagavatam. And it has answers to all the previous questions. So this is summarized thus. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. And it is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. And it is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. All successful, all blissful, and all perfect. We can do this experiment. Our Narayan Prabhu has many copies of Srimad Bhagavatam with matchless gift shop. Just take the first canto. Try to absorb your consciousness in one chapter, the first chapter. Actually, it's explained by Acharyas that the first three chapters of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are very, very deep because they present the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just absorb your consciousness for a few days and you'll realize that it is all success. It will make you all successful in your endeavors for happiness. It will make you all blissful and all perfect in your situation as a part and parcel of God. And therefore, Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he declared that Srimad Bhagavatam is a spotless sound representation of all Vedic knowledge and history. Just like you have milk. Nowadays, we don't get milk. We don't know what we get. But suppose we get milk and you boil the milk and churn the milk. What do you get? Butter. Butter is considered to be the essence of the milk. In fact, our dear Uttam Maheshwari Prabhu, he was explaining how a particular ingredient of cow is more important than the other. So cow, ghee is very important and ghee comes from butter. So Srimad Bhagavatam is likened to the butter and all the Vedic literature are likened to milk as the essence. And Krishna was very fond of butter. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's explained that simply by giving very sincere oral reception to this literary incarnation of the Lord, what will happen? Generally, any place in this world or any relationship in this world, it starts first with attraction. You get attracted. You hear the pastimes of the Lord. You hear some such fine sentiments. Humility, filled with genuine desires for service. First thing is attraction. The second transformation, when you become attracted, what happens? You become attentive, right? If I speak in a boring manner, you'll not feel attentive. But yes, Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are trying to transparently represent today, is so attractive that by even making an attempt to read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will feel attracted and then become very attentive. And then, when you become attentive for sufficient amount of time, what do you develop? Attachment. You become very attached. I know there are devotees who get up early in the morning, first thing before they chant, they read Bhagavatam. Absorb their consciousness as Bhagavatam with a prayerful mood. And then they start chanting. Attachment. And then, when there is attachment, you feel absorbed. Absorption is not just a 5-minute affair. Your whole day, you're looking forward to the next day of reading. Next day's reading. Just like our 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, they would be waiting for the next day's chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, what is this night? It's just simply wasted in sleeping. They would look forward to chanting. So that is absorption. Whole day you're absorbed. Absorption is an entire day affair. And then, gradually, when you're more and more absorbed in the Supreme Lord, you feel affection. You feel affection for the Lord. Ah, this is Krishna. Just like a mother feels, is absorbed in hearing about her son, in thinking about her son when he's away. And as a result, the moment the son comes, she's so affectionate to him. She prepares the best ingredients, his favorite ingredients. So, this way, Srimad Bhagavatam, by being first attached, attracted, then attentive, then attached, then absorbed, and then finally becoming affectionate towards the characters of Srimad Bhagavatam, we will actually get answers to all our questions. The answers are there. The answers are there. But the code is, we have to develop some attraction. That's where it starts. And then it's explained. Vishwanath Chakri Thakur explains very beautifully that when Krishna appeared in this world, he was like the sun. This is also explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 2nd chapter, verse numbers 7, in a dialogue between Uddhava and Vidura. So Uddhava is telling Vidura that the Supreme Lord Krishna is like the sun. The son of Krishna, he rose from the sunrise mountain of Mathura and the sunset in the sunset mountain of Prabhas. The Chakravaka birds, they are very fond of the sun. So when it is night, they start mourning. They start crying. They are feeling separation. And then what happens? The fog sets in the night, where the Chakravaka birds are mourning. And then these personalities, the Chakravaka birds, while they are mourning, the fog, which is like evil, it becomes very dense in the night. The devotees are like the lotuses who thrive when there is very nice sunshine during the day. So Vishwanath Chakri Thakur explains that Krishna, the son of Krishna said, Prabhupada writes very beautifully, Krishna, he appears in one place, but when he leaves that place, he appears elsewhere. Krishna is continuously appearing and disappearing in different places. Krishna's body never ceases to exist because his transcendental form. So Prabhupada explains that still Krishna is available to us in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the literary incarnation. And therefore devotees, they relish. They flourish like the lotus flowers. And Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point in this regard. He says, the secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. You experience this. If you're not pure in mind, it's very difficult to be attentive. I'm not pure in mind. I'm not even attentive while speaking. So difficult to be attentive while hearing. But when there's purity in mind, you can have rapt attention. And then, no one can be pure in mind who's not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who's not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. Very beautiful point. Let's give up. I'll be pure in eating, sleeping, fearing and mating. And then that will make me pure in action. And then that will make me pure in mind. Then I'll become attentive. When will that day come? Kabe habe bolo, sedhi namar. But Prabhupada, he says, but Somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Shri Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Somehow or other. And Bhurijan Prabhu explains in one lecture, Bhurijan Prabhu is a senior disciple of Prabhupada, he says, for most of us, the somehow or other factor is Srila Prabhupada. Somehow or other. So I heard from Gaurang Prabhu that yesterday there was a beautiful prerna class by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. And he narrated the story. How many of you were there? This class? Not everyone. So we could repeat. So there was this fellow who wanted to know where all God is. So he asked his mullah, is God everywhere? He said, yes. Is God also on the stool? Mullah thought that he is speaking very offensively. This person was very sincere. He just wanted to know whether God is everywhere. But mullah felt very offended. He beat that person and drove him away. Go out, get out from this place. So this man, he had a sincere question. But when some sincere question is unanswered or we are not given due respect, you lose interest in that topic. So this person, he got into all kinds of habits. He started drinking. And one day he was so drunk in a party hall that he collapsed on the spot. And I was told that the people took him and put him in the basement. There was a basement, there was like a go down below that hall, party hall. It was dark, pitch dark. And he got up in the morning after a drunken sleep. And when he got up in the morning, it was dark, but there was only one small beam of light which entered that room. Small, from a small hole. And then he saw the light fell on a sheet of paper, seemingly a sheet of paper, on which it was written in bold font, God is everywhere, even in stool. And he saw this, the answer to his question. And then he picked it up. Actually, it was one of the pages of Srila Prabhupada's Back to Godhead magazine. Srila Prabhupada ki. So he flipped through the pages. It was Back to Godhead. He got the answer to this question. This is somehow or other factor for most of us. Somehow or other we hear from a pure devotee. Then we can start becoming pure in eating, sleeping, mating, defecting. Then we can become pure in our actions. Then we can become pure in our mind. Then we may become attentive. That's Prabhupada's mercy. And that is the nature of actual true pure mercy. And the nature of pure mercy is it's unconditional. It is unshakable. Prabhupada printed these books everywhere, unshakable. So many movements have appeared and disappeared trying to stop Srila Prabhupada's book distribution, presentation of Krishna consciousness to so many media. But it is unshakable. It's unconditional, unshakable. It is unlimited. It can reach every nook and corner of the planet. Prabhupada was with, I think, Govindasi Mataji in his room. And then Govindasi Mataji, she saw a small bug crawling. And Prabhupada said, chant to that poor creature. And she was very touched. Prabhupada was thinking even about the bug. So that is unlimited and unending. And it's also unearned. That's the nature of this pure devotional service. It's unearned. What did we do to land up? No. Somehow or other. That's how it happened. But this is pure devotional service as spoken by Srila Prabhupada. So, we should understand that this Puran, Bhagavat Puran, which is available to us somehow or other by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, is describing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. And in doing so, it's elevating us without our understanding from a most downtrodden position to the most exalted position. That potency it is there. And therefore, year after year, devotees take great pleasure in reciting the same pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because these pastimes are alive. Varaha Dwadashi, every year, same pastime. It's not that every year Varaha Dwadashi, new Varaha Dev appears. Or every year we have Narsingha Chaturdashi, we just celebrated Vaishnava Acharyas. Prabhupada writes in his purport, he says, there's only one intention we read Srimad Bhagavatam again and again, to go deep into the matter by spiritual devotion. So it's a fact. If we become conscious of each and every character of Srimad Bhagavatam. By character, I mean personality, and I also mean the physical character. Every alphabet of Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we can go deep into the subject matter and we can actually live. That is the only goal, Prabhupada writes. In fact, Krishna can come alive from Srimad Bhagavatam. He's there. Krishna can just come up. Prabhupada writes in another purport. And Prabhupada says that Krishna is Amogha Leela. Amogha Leela means there is nothing lamentable in Krishna's creation. We might come up with some creation, but it has something lamentable. Some pinprick somewhere. But Krishna's creation is Amogha Leela. Free from any contamination. No paucity at all. And Prabhupada says, one example is of Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj was apparently cursed. Very bad situation. He was cursed by Sringi for one small fault, which is he put a dead snake around the neck of Shamikrishi. But what happened? He was cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. But Parikshit Maharaj, what did he do? Because the Lord's creation is Amogha Leela, and because he had faith, he took to the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's the potency. That somehow or other, despite all our inhibitions, in any situation that Maya may attack us, the same Maya, if we show our eagerness to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that same Maya can take us closer to Krishna. Vidura, that's what happened with Vidura. Vidura was rebuked by Duryodhan. Get out from this place. Vidura left that place. But what did he do? He took shelter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Maitreya Rishi. And also from Uddhava. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam from them. So, in any situation, one can transform his existence simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, we come to the second part of our discussion, which is offering all our respects to Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a literary incarnation of the Lord. Now we'll try to understand what incarnations of the Lord Srimad Bhagavatam itself describes. So, one of the aspects of Krishna consciousness I was very attracted to initially was the emphasis that was given to the form of the Lord. I hail from a very Mayavadi training background from my childhood, and I'm still a very much impersonal person. But still, I remember one of the first lectures I heard from Radhesham Prabhu. Great details, he talked about the six kinds of incarnations of the Lord. Oh wow, Lord has six kinds of incarnations. Six types of incarnations, not six incarnations, but six types of incarnations. Too much detail. And that really transformed my heart. Prabhupada says that the Lord has so many different kinds of incarnations. Just like if you have an electric powerhouse. Now, if the electric powerhouse were to come here to illuminate this room, what would happen? We would be eternally illuminated. No, eliminated, not illuminated. We'll be eliminated. But that same powerhouse generates the power which gets stepped down. There's a step down transformer. And here we have electricity, nicely illuminating, not eliminating. So Prabhupada writes, similarly, the Supreme Lord, he is a storehouse of all potencies. But he, according to time, place and situations, he incarnates for a particular purpose. Srimad Bhagavatam, third chapter, 57 verse from the first canto, Prabhupada writes, the indication is that for each and every incarnation of the personality of Godhead, the particular function executed is also mentioned. There cannot be an incarnation without a particular function, and such functions are always extraordinary, beyond our imagination. So again, in the third canto, third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, very beautifully it's described, the Lord has two kinds of functions, two main reasons why he comes every time he incarnates. He incarnates to take up two kinds of burdens. Which are the two burdens? The burden of beast and the burden of love. So Lord comes up to take up these two kinds of burdens. So what is the burden of love? Why should love be a burden? So the burden of love is described by Srila Prabhupada very practically in that purport. He says that the burden of the husband on the young wife. Young wife has to cook for the husband. Immediately after getting married, she has to make 3 meals a day. And mother used to help her. Mother used to cook perhaps. Nowadays, mother also doesn't cook, you know. We have maid servants who cook. But she has to start cooking. So, but it's a burden of love because she is doing it out, she should do it out of affection for the husband. Or Prabhupada gives the example of the burden of the child on the lap of the mother. The child sits on the lap of the mother, it's burdensome. But it's a burden of love. And the burden of wealth on the businessman. One huge suitcase filled with gold coins. It's burdensome, but I love it. Can you increase the weight? So Prabhupada says that this is a burden of love. Why? Because if the child doesn't sit on the lap of the mother, it becomes a burden of separation, which is even more difficult to tolerate. The father keeps the child on his lap, but when the father dies, the child has to carry the burden of the father to the crematorium. So both are burdens. But which burden is preferable? The child's burden on the father's lap or the father's burden on the child's shoulder? The former. So if there is no, Prabhupada beautifully explains, if there is no burden of love, there will be burden of separation. The Lord doesn't want the burden of separation. So he descends to experience the burden of love because his devotees are calling out for him. And the second is a burden of beast, which is beastly creatures who try to break traffic signals, who try to change the rules of heaven and hell. You know what, whom I'm talking about, Ravan. So these are two kinds of burdens the Lord comes to experience. This display of burden of love has to be repaid by the Son one day. So we all, living entities, we have to repay the burden of love which the Lord came to experience. And therefore, the only request that is being made in the Srimad Bhagavatam is we hear the activities of the Lord as he assumes the burden of love. That's all. It's so difficult. Father has toiled for me and my brother comes and tells me, please read the story. How father toiled for you? No time. That's all I have to do. That's all I have to do to reciprocate with this burden of love. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Absorb my mind in the pastimes of the Lord. So, it's explained that the incarnations of the Lord for these two purposes are unlimited. Avatara hi asankheya harer sattva nidher dvijaha yatha vidasina kulyaha sarasa syu sahasrashaha. O brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. Rivulets, when they flow from the water, so many of them. We had a recent trip to Ramanwadi, Venu Madhuri project. Amazing. Farmers had no water for so many years. From some remote forest, the devotees, headed by Bhakti Rasam Swami Maharaj, they just found some sources of water somewhere in the middle of the forest. So many streams. There's a source of water and there are so many streams, so many rivulets. They just caught hold of one of them. Many of us, IIT students, we went there. 24/7, 365 days a year, there is water. Such nice water, you can drink from it, filled with minerals. You can take bath in it. That's from one of the rivulets. So Lord has so many rivulets. Number, just like the number of rivulets can be unlimited, and each rivulet is unceasing. That's how Mother Nature is. That rivulet has not stopped since last 10 years. Similarly, the Lord has unlimited expansions. And Prahlad Maharaj, he explains how many incarnations the Lord has. He doesn't explain. He tries to give us an idea. And he says, Itham Ritirya Grishideva Jashavatarair Lokan Vibhavayasi Hamsi Jagat Pratipan Dharmam Mahapurushapashi Yuganavrittam Channa Kalauyad Abhavastri Gostasatvam. So Shri Prahlad Maharaj says, my dear Lord, he's offering prayer to Lord Narsingadev, my dear Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life. And he says, namely, what are the species of life? Aquatics, reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men, the demigods, the vegetables. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says. Prahlad Maharaj. Even if the Lord didn't incarnate as a vegetable, he would, after Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer. So Lord has so many incarnations just to show his mercy to bear the two burdens. You advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. And then he says, in Kali Yuga, you have incarnated garbed as a devotee. Channa Kalau. Your hidden incarnation. Because when the humility means I don't want to show myself off. When Madhavendra Puri, the great devotee who went, for whom Lord Gopinath stole kheer. So when Madhavendra Puri came to know that the Lord has stolen kheer for me, he became so embarrassed. He took the kheer but immediately disappeared from that place. He didn't want anyone to track him, trace him. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, in mood of humility, Lord Krishna in the mood of humility as his devotee, he is Channa Kalau, comes. He doesn't come as a Supreme Lord, he comes as his own devotee, though he's a Supreme Lord himself. So this way, it's explained that different kinds of incarnations of the Lord, they come to experience these two burdens and perform feats which no one else can perform. Now the six kinds of incarnations are described in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, 5th verse. So Prabhupada writes that there is no scope for an imposter to become an incarnation. For an incarnation must be mentioned in the Shastras. So all the incarnations, six kinds of incarnations, the different types of these incarnations are mentioned in Shastras. An incarnation does not declare himself to be an incarnation of the Lord, but great sages agree by the symptoms mentioned in the revealed scriptures. The features of that incarnation and the particular type of mission which he has to execute are mentioned in the revealed scriptures. So Prabhupada, he was seeing reviews to Bhagavad Gita as it is, written by some professors, some big personalities. So as he was going through different reviews, he stopped at the review of one professor, Kailash Vajpayee. So he was at the University of Mexico and he was in charge of Oriental studies, specifically Hinduism. So he had written a very nice appreciation, a review for Prabhupada's books. And as devotees were reading his review, it was very, very nice and Prabhupada loved it. So here's how the review went. He says, as a native of India, now living in the West, it has given me much grief to see so many of my fellow countrymen coming to the West in the role of gurus and spiritual leaders and incarnations. Just as an ordinary man in the West becomes conscious of Christian culture from his very birth, an ordinary man in India becomes familiar with the principles of meditation and yoga from his very birth. Unfortunately, many unscrupulous persons come from India, exhibit their imperfect and ordinary knowledge of yoga, cheat the people with their wares consisting of mantras, and present themselves as incarnations of God. So many of these cheaters have come, convincing their foolish followers to accept them as God, that those who are actually well-versed and learned in Indian culture have become very concerned and troubled. For this reason, I am very excited. Prabhupada said, stop! Prabhupada said, send this copy to Indira Gandhi. And he told all the GBC devotees that immediately tell Indira Gandhi to stop issuing passports and visas to all people who do this nonsense. No incarnation who's not mentioned in the scripture should be accepted. Prabhupada made it very clear. So first incarnation is the Purusha Avatar. Purusha Avatar, the Lord descends from the spiritual world. Avatar means one who descends, avatari. And he descends to first create the entire material universe and then a particular universe in this material creation and then also manage, orchestrate the different activities in one creation. So that's the Purusha Avatar. The second kind of avatar is the Leela Avatar. So many avatars we have heard of. Ram Avatar, Narsingh Avatar, Vamana Avatar, Varaha Avatar. Many of them are Leela Avatars. But the Lord comes to perform his specific pastimes. And Prabhupada says, they are also very many, many in number, innumerable. though only some are very prominent. And the third is Gunavatar. Gunavatar are the incarnations of Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva, who take charge of the different modes of material nature. Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion for creation. Lord Vishnu is in charge of goodness, which is required for maintenance. Very hard to maintain. Very easy to start projects. Very easy to buy new houses. Very hard to maintain. My auntie, she bought a house in Pune. And the tenant is not leaving the house at all. So difficult to maintain. She has lost all that money. I'm laughing, but she's crying. And then the third is Lord Shiva, who's in charge of destruction. The fourth kind of avatar are Manus. And Prabhupada says that within one day's duration of the life of Brahma, who's a guna avatar, there are 14 Manus. And Prabhupada gives very detailed calculation on what the life of each Manu is and how many Manus are there in one lifetime of Brahma. Oof, too many of them. I counted it actually. And then the fifth kind of avatar is the Yuga avatar. The Lord appears in every Yuga. Yada yada, he comes to specifically establish Yuga Dharma. And especially in Kali Yuga, Kali Kale Dharma, Harinava Sankirtan. That is a Dharma, Yuga Dharma. And Prabhupada writes that in Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga, the Lord appeared in different incarnations as Yuga Avatar in white, red, black, and yellow colors. So Prabhupada says, especially Lord Krishna appeared to establish Dharma in the Dwapar Yuga. It's a bluish-black complexion. And Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, golden complexion. And the sixth kind of incarnation are the empowered incarnations, specifically empowered incarnations. And Prabhupada says there are two types of empowered incarnations. One who are completely empowered and one who are partially empowered. Completely empowered incarnations are called as Avesha incarnations. And those include Narad Muni, Prithu Maharaj, Anantashesh, etc. And the partially empowered incarnations are Vibhutis. And Srila Prabhupada writes that the 10th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita talks about all the Vibhutis. In fact, the name of the 10th chapter is Vibhuti Yoga. All these partially empowered incarnations. He gives very beautiful description. Lord Krishna gives beautiful description of these in the 10th chapter. How Ashwatha Sarva Vrikshanam. Amongst all the Vrikshas, he is Ashwatha. So even in this world, we see different things are very empowered, specifically empowered. Amongst all elephants, Airavata is most powerful. Amongst all the commanders in chief, Kartikeya is very powerful. That way Krishna is explaining the Vibhutis. And then it's explained that all these avatars, these six kinds of avatars, they come from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, except for Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. All of them come from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Now we come to slightly detailed description of these different incarnations. Because we don't have time, I'll try to summarize these pastimes using a very beautiful verse that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes. All the incarnations of the third chapter, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam are summarized here. So it's explained that Lord Krishna has six opulences. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yashasya sriyaha jnana vairagya yoschaiva shanna shanna bhaga itingana. There are six opulences of Krishna as explained by Parashar Muni. Aishwarya means he's very opulent. All the wealth in the world belongs to Krishna. So Krishna, we can't even calculate the amount of wealth that Krishna has. Because as we start calculating, the wealth is increasing. So we can't even calculate. And then the second is his virya, valor. Krishna is the source of all valor. It's explained that nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam yeko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. Krishna is one who sustains all living entities. So all valor comes from Krishna. So he's full with valor. He is filled with beauty, Shriya. All beauty comes from Krishna. All knowledge comes from Krishna, Gyan. And all Vairagya, renunciation comes from Krishna. And all fame, Yashaha, also comes from Krishna. So in this way, there are six opulences of Krishna. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that the different incarnations described in the third chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam specifically display one of these opulences prominently. And he says that Narsimho Jamadagnyascha Kalki Purusha Evacha. Of all the incarnations described here, Narsimha Jamadagni, this Jamadagnya, which means Lord Parashuram, who is the son of Jamadagni. And the third is Kalki. These three incarnations of the Lord specially exemplify the Lord's Paurusha, power. Narsingdev's power we have experienced, we have seen, we have heard. There is a village near Udupi where they don't have any dramas of Lord Narsingdev. Because moment they have a drama of Lord Narsingdev, the person who acts as Narsingdev, he gets possessed by Lord Narsingdev. And then, it's a fact. So Lord Narsingdev, he exemplifies the Paurusha. And the Purusha avatars, which also we discussed earlier, they also exemplify the Lord's power. Prabhupada writes that just like this body has a soul, but the soul of that soul is Lord Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And the soul of this universe is Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the soul of all creation is Lord Karnodakshaya Vishnu. So Prabhupada writes, that's our experience, that nothing comes from nothing. Everything comes from something. Prabhupada writes, just as Prakriti or woman cannot produce a child without the connection of a Purusha or man, the Purusha impregnates and the Prakriti delivers. We should not expect milk from the fleshy bags on the neck of a goat. Goat's neck has fleshy bags. You go and pull it. Goat doesn't protest generally, but you won't get milk anyways. So, so Prabhupada says they look like bristly nipples. So Prabhupada says similarly, for any creation to take place, there is power required, unimaginable power, strength. And that someone has. How can you say that there was a big bang? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me at least. Big bang, from nothing, everything came. Nothing has no strength. I can just swallow it. Nothing, everything came. Krishna is the source of all strength. Therefore, Paurusha. Purushavataras. It's explained that Karanodakshaya Vishnu, when he inhales and exhales, as he exhales from each pore of his body, a universe emanates. And as he inhales, the universe goes back into his body. And then, the Lord Vishnu, he expands into every universe which he has created from the pore as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he creates a Garbhodak ocean, which is basically the sweat of the Lord. But the sweat of the Lord is transcendental, very fragrant. So Lord lies down in this sweat. According to some acharyas, what happens is the Lord lies down in the sweat, and when he feels, because it's not the spiritual world, feels a little bored, then he goes to another universe and again creates a Garbhodak ocean. And from the lotus flower that sprouts from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu comes Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is born. And then Lord Brahma is actually also called Swayambhu. But one explanation given, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, one explanation given is Swayambhu can mean that one who is born of himself. But Swayambhu can also mean one who is born from one who is born of himself. So Lord Brahma is therefore also called Swayambhu. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. One who is born from one who is born of himself, which is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. And the third, Vishnu Stutrini Rupani Purushakhyani Atho Viduhu. Pratamam Tu Mahatas Trishti. Dityam Tvanda Samsitam, Tritiyam Sarvasasyasya. The third Vishnu, he is everywhere, in every atom. Srila Prabhupada wanted the Bhaktivedanta Institute devotees to look at this. How the Supreme Lord is there in every atom, and because of that the atom is functioning. Everything is going around the Lord. So this is Paurusha of the Lord. And then Narasimha, Purusha avatars, the third is Lord Kalki, which we have not experienced so far. And I sincerely pray that none of us get to experience Lord Kalki's Paurusha. We should sincerely hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day so that we don't have to experience. But we can offer all our respects. We can chant the Shavatar Stotra, offering all respects to the Paurusha of Lord Kalki. So it's explained that the 25th verse of this chapter, that Kalki, as Kalki, the Lord will become the son of Vishnu Yasha. And this is towards the end of Kali Yuga. 427,000 years still left. Looks like a lot of time. Enough time. Let me visit all the malls in the city. Let me go to Indra Loka, Chandra Loka. Not easy. Go to Indra Loka and come back. It's a different time scale there. So 427,000 on this year, this planet, okay? Not on other planets. So it's not that long. And who, God knows, Padma Purana explains that you should assume that this is the last human form of life you've ever got. There's so much of uncertainty, what I will do. So much of uncertainty. Every step, I can make a choice whether to degrade myself, my consciousness, or whether to elevate, to become pure spirit soul as a servant of the Lord. Every moment we have this choice. It's so dangerous. We should just aspire to go back. But yes, Kalki will come and destroy everything, anything that exists at the time of the dissolution. This is 427,000 years only away. And this will be at the conjunction of two yugas, namely the Kali Yuga and the beginning of the next Satya Yuga. So in this way, these beautiful three incarnations are described with respect to power. Now, Vishwanathacharya Thakur, he describes second fame, Yash. Which three incarnations have glorified the Lord's Yash? Glorified the Lord's Yash. Lord's Yash is glorious. Everything is glorious. So which three incarnations? Every North Indian family I've heard that after the marriage takes place, the husband and wife are supposed to sit together and recite Ramayana. They're supposed to recite Ramayana immediately after the marriage. So Ramayana is actually a household affair. So Lord Ram is so famous. People want Ram Rajya. He's famous. Unfortunately, people want his fame, not Krishna. I saw a beautiful article written that very often in the name of God, we just try to use God to establish our own religion. Krishna came to establish religion, but we use the name of Ram to establish our Rajya. Ram ke naam pe apna Rajya. But Lord Ram is still very famous. Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord Ram, he exhibited superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and then killing the atheist king Ravana, who was on the other side of the sea. Lord Ram came to destroy Ravana, who had come with a challenging spirit, which is my nature, the nature, demoniac nature. And the second incarnation for Yash is described to be Dhanvantari. Dhanvantari, when the Samudra Manthan was going on, as the churning was going on, different personalities, different objects came. The demons, very greedily, they caught hold of the head of Vasuki. Hum sar pe baithna chahte hain. And the demigods, they humbly took the tail. Of course, the demons had to experience the wish of Vasuki. As the churning went on and on, Lord Shiva came, Airavata came, Uchchaishrava came, Lakshmi Devi came, and at one point of time, Dhanvantri came. Dhanvantri, he came with a pot of nectar. For us, we can't imagine anything beyond mango nectar. But this is amrit that makes us live a longer life. If you eat too much of mangoes, you'll become mrit, not amrit. Therefore, Madan Gopal Prabhu, my Shiksha Guru, has told me that you should drink a lot of milk after mango. And in fact, even when you eat mangoes, you should mix Pyari and Alfonso. I learned this recently in Ratnagiri. Because Alfonso is not actually Indian. it's Portuguese, as the name says it all. But pyrie, you mix it because it doesn't produce too much heat, that combination. But this nectar, it can give very long life. So this Dhanvantri, he is considered the origin of Ayurveda. He's very famous. Go to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and many other Ayurvedic bona fide places, you'll find a picture of Dhanvantri at the entrance. And then the other, another pastime, another personality, very famous, is Maharaj Prithu. If we have not heard of Maharaj Prithu, then we are not well educated, because he is famous. So Maharaj Prithu is explained that he appeared on the prayer of great sages. Actually, all these personalities, we are not going into details, but all these divine incarnations have appeared with these two burdens, burdens of love, to reciprocate with the call of their devotees. Prithu Maharaj was called by the sages, please come. The previous king is completely unruly. Your advent is required to establish dharma. So he came to reciprocate with the sages. And when Prithu Maharaj came, it's explained that with the permission of all the brahmanas, he accepted the royal throne and he cultivated the land to yield various produces. And for that reason, during the time of Maharaj Prithu, the earth was unprecedentedly beautiful and attractive. Earth is actually very beautiful and attractive. We have made it so bad. But Maharaj Prithu, he made it even more beautiful and attractive. That was special feature that Prabhupada mentions in the purport. And Prabhupada writes there that Maharaj Prithu, before he ascended on the throne, he explained. He took permission and then only ascended. Intelligent class of men do not occupy the royal throne because they have much more important duties for the welfare of the public. So the brahmanas did not ascend the royal throne. So this is Maharaj Prithu. Glorious personality who overcame the envious attitude of Indra and to please the Supreme Lord, of whom is an expansion. To please the Supreme Lord, he overcame the envy of Indra and cooperated. Even though Indra became famous for performing 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas and Maharaj Prithu did not become famous for 100 but only 99, still he is famous. As it said, in any altercation, the person to say sorry first, he wins. Sometimes we are determined, I will not say sorry, you are lost. Of course, this is not a strategy, this is not simply a technique. This should be done from the heart. But that was Maharaj Prithu. He became famous for this attitude. Very pleasing to the Lord. And then Yajna, another incarnation of the Lord, very famous. The infamous people of Kali Yuga do not know the famous people, unfortunately. But he's very famous. It's explained that sometimes when there is no suitable person to occupy the throne of Indra, the Supreme Lord himself advents and takes that throne. So during the period of Swayambhuva Manu, which was before our current Vaivashvata Manu, it's explained that no suitable living entity was found to take up the throne of Indra. So Lord Krishna came as Yajna. It's famous. The next is Shriyaha. Shriyaha is beauty. You should be able to easily name one person for that. One personality, incarnation of the Lord for that. Who is that personality? Mohini Murti. Incarnation of beauty. So beautiful that even her beauty defeated the beauty of Lakshmi Devi. After the most famous Dhanvantari gave this pot of nectar, the demigods and demons fighting. The demons became powerful. And they were of course fighting amongst themselves for the pot of nectar. That time Mohini Murti, for the protection of his devotees, he came as a most beautiful personality. Discussed in detail in Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. The demons were stuck by seeing her beauty. They actually surrendered to her beauty. In fact, she started speaking so sweetly to them. She took the pot of nectar and said, I will fairly distribute it amongst all of you. You please sit. And they were all seated. They were so absorbed in her beauty. Imagine what it requires to keep demons away from nectar. That is her beauty. And Mohini Murti was distributing the nectar to the demigods. Demons didn't realize. So only one personality realized. Rahu. That is Mohinimurti. Lord Shiva, he wanted to see this beautiful form of the Lord. He requested Krishna, Krishna, that form of yours. Krishna said, are you sure? I am sure. And Lord Krishna, and actually Shiva requested just for a small time. But Lord Krishna, the moment he appeared as Mohinimurti, Lord Shiva started running behind this beautiful form. All respects to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva doesn't mind being defeated by the beauty of Krishna. We should all have no shame in being defeated by the beauty of Krishna. But not by the beauty of his external energy, but the beauty of his internal energy. Actually, the external energy is external only as long as we don't remember Krishna. If you remember Krishna, it's actually internal energy. So that is Mohinimurti. Another beautiful incarnation of the Lord, that's Vamana. Every time in Mayapur, when they have this Vaman Dwadashi, they try to find some very beautiful boy who is dressed up as Vamandev. How many of you have seen this festival or photograph of the festival in Mayapur? You should see. A beautiful boy, Gurukul kid is dressed as Vamandev. And he's offered the bhoga also. So Vamandev is very beautiful. And it's explained that again, Bali Maharaj was also captivated by his beauty when Vamandev appeared in front of him. Vamandev had appeared on the request of the demigods. He went to take the kingdom of the three planetary systems. But still, he asked from Bali Maharaj only for the donation of three steps of land. Huh? Only three steps? We wanted all the kingdoms. Only three steps. But yes, that is the Supreme Lord. And it's explained, the Almighty God can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe from a very small beginning. The Supreme Lord can bestow upon anyone the entire universe starting with a small beginning. And he can take away the kingdom of the universe on the plea of begging a small step of land also. Just like Srila Prabhupada, Anandan Prabhu was telling me, in the entire encyclopedia written by Srila Prabhupada, there's only mention of one devotee whom Prabhupada says will go back to Godhead. Simple lady in Vrindavan who used to fetch water every day from the well. Absolutely no position. No possession, no position. But Prabhupada says she went back to Godhead. She is sure to go back to Godhead because of her simple devotion to Krishna. So Lord Vamandev is so sweet that he, from a small beginning, he can give anyone the kingdom of God. Small beginning, what is she doing? Simply pulling water. But from that, she was given the kingdom of God. That's what Prabhupada says. And here Bali Maharaj, from a small beginning, he took away everything. Lord Vamandev, three steps of land, took away Bali Maharaj himself. That is the glory of Bali Maharaj. He gave himself. That is the beautiful incarnation of Vamandev. And then another incarnation glorified for beauty is Balaram. Balaram, again, the 23rd verse explained that Balaram appeared like a moon in the family of the Vrishni dynasty. The next is Gyan, knowledge. Which are the incarnations that come to your mind? Srila Vyasadeva, very compassionate personality of Godhead. To explain that, for the sake of all the less intelligent, unintelligent people in Kali Yuga, Vyasadeva, he bifurcated the Vedas into divisions. And he also wrote the Mahabharata and Ramayana in story form, where the philosophy is very nicely presented, but in story form, so that any ordinary man can digest. And till now, you can see Ramayana and Mahabharata, TV serials. Not only that, more and more TV serials on the same topic. Of course, authenticity is a question mark. But the point is, nevertheless, it's because of Srila Vyasadeva. He presented the beautiful pastimes of the Lord in the Ramayana and Mahabharata for everyone to be able to assimilate. And another personality is very famous as Kumaras. The four Kumaras are actually Shaktyavesh incarnation of the Lord. Prabhupada writes in the purport that one must first acquire the qualifications of a Brahmana, not simply by birth, but also by quality, and then one can undergo the process of Brahman realization. So the four Kumaras went through the process of acquiring the qualifications of a brahmana, brahma janati iti brahmana. Even though they were Shaktyavesh avatars, still they went to the process. And Prabhupada writes that they set an example for all of us to follow. And Lord Kapila, he is explained to be the foremost amongst perfected beings. Mother Devahuti was instructed by Lord Kapila on Sankhya. And Prabhupada writes that the word metaphysics, which we come across in all our physics departments, humanities departments, or sociology departments, sometimes physics departments also, the word metaphysics comes from Sankhya. The European scholars simply translated Sankhya to metaphysics after reading the scriptures. Prabhupada says the etymological meaning of Sankhya is that which explains very lucidly by analysis of the material elements. Breaks down a compound into simple things. To explain everything very clearly. Another incarnation is Dattatreya, knowledge incarnation of the Lord. It's explained that Dattatreya's mother, who's Anusuya, she was the wife of Atreya Rishi. She prayed before Lord Brahma, Vishnu and Lord Shiva that please, all three of you appear to me as a child. So three combined into one as Lord Dattatreya. And Prabhupada writes that Lord Dattatreya, who's still worshipped in many temples in Maharashtra, I've seen, he expounded the philosophy of the spirit soul and especially instructed Alarka, Prahlad, Yadu, Hayaya, etc. So his philosophy has been reaching the nook and corner of this world. Every nook and corner. Another incarnation of knowledge is Matsya. So it's explained that after the period of the Chakshusha Manu, the whole world was deep within water. So, according to several acharyas, after every manvantara, there is a dissolution, partial dissolution. Whole world was inside water. That time, this great personality, whose name was Satyavrata, Maharaj Satyavrata, he went to a small pond and he found a fish. Fish said, please, take me with you. He took it, put him in a bigger bowl at his king, inside his palace. The fish grew in size. Please put me in a bigger water body. He took the fish and put it in a bigger water body, a pond in his palace, grew in size. Impossible to fit in the pond. Took him to a big lake outside. Too huge in size. Put in the ocean. Too huge in size. This was Lord Matsya. Ever expanding in form. And then it's explained that Satyavrata Muni was actually a devotee of Lord Matsya. And therefore, Matsya appeared simply to satisfy Satyavrata Muni. And also to protect the Vedas. Protect the Vedic literature. So he's an incarnation of knowledge. So like this is described. Another set of incarnations of the Lord described in this chapter, they glorify Vairagya, renunciation. It's explained that the Naranarayan rishis, it's explained that anyone in this world, anyone in this creation will be perturbed by lust except for the Naranarayan Rishi. It's explained that the twin sons of the wife of King Dharma, who undertook severe exemplary penances to control the senses. So they became his sons. And they performed severe austerities. Indra became so envious of their austerities. He felt threatened by their austerities. So he sent some apsaras. Please go and entice. Bhang karo unka. Unki tapasya. They danced. For a long time they danced. Naranarayan Rishi, he didn't feel disturbed, but he did feel a lot of compassion on them. Itna nritya kar rahe hain, itne thake hue hain, pasina chhoot raha hai. So, dadati prati ghrinati. So, Indra sent, he also sent. He sent so many beautiful apsaras, million times more beautiful than those apsaras he sent back as gifts to Indra. That is the detachment of Naranarayan Rishi, Vairagya. Another incarnation, Rishabha, amazing personality, Rishabhdev, the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, fourth canto is described in detail. Fifth canto, sorry. But in the third chapter, Prabhupada writes that Rishabhdev, who was an empowered incarnation of the Lord, he was a son of King Nabhi and his wife Meru Devi. He showed the path of perfection, which is followed by those who have fully controlled their senses and who are honored by all orders of life. Prabhupada says, Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, all three must honor Rishabhdev, his instructions. But even amongst the sannyasis, there are four orders. Kutichak, Bahudak, Parivrajakacharya, and sannyas. Even the fourth order sannyas, they worship the lotus feet of Sri Rishabhdev. What? Sons. He instructed his sons on detachment. Parabhavastava davodha jato yavanna jigyasatatam. There's no point in any of your achievements, any of your endeavors, unless you understand Atma Tattva, complete detachment. He taught very powerful, strong detachment, which Prabhupada was especially fond of in his lectures. He taught this to his sons. But even more amazingly, after instructing his sons, next chapter in the fifth canto describes that Rishabhdev, he left the kingdom. Now one might wonder, and this is generally our habit, when if someone has a lot of knowledge, someone has a good position, then the tendency is that I know what I'm doing. But it's explained by Srila Prabhupada that Rishabhdev, he concluded after instructing his sons that I shouldn't trust my mind. Sometimes the name of being good grahasthas, practical grahasthas or practical people, we do many things practically, everything practically under the sun. But Rishabhdev knew that I have taught these strong lessons, and after teaching a powerful class, the tendency is to trust our own mind. Give a blank check to the mind. Mind says anything, give it. I have spoken. Everyone has said Haribol. Why should I doubt my own mind? Rishabhdev, his renunciation is so exemplary that after giving powerful class to his sons, he didn't want to trust his own mind. He left the kingdom. He was rolling around in the ground, past urine and stool, transcendental urine and stool, and the same place where he was lying down. And in this way, he set the highest standards of renunciation. But one should not try to imitate Rishabhdev. One should follow the mood of Rishabhdev and not trust his mind. Prabhupada says one should not trust his mind. Gaur Govind Maharaj, beautiful statement he says. You become proud as a devotee, and then Maya Devi, she will become a very nice Vaishnavi, and says, you're a nice Vaishnavi, I'm a nice Vaishnavi. So we trust our mind. It is doomsday. That's what Lord Rishabhdev taught. And another incarnation of renunciation is Kurmadev. Kurmadev, who would like to be in the background when something like Samudra Manthan is going on? Everyone wanted to be at the forefront. The demigods wanted to be at the front of the Vasuki snake. So much in the forefront. But Kurmadev, Prabhupada explains very beautifully, Kurmadev was simply letting his shell serve as a pivot for the Mandrachara hill, which was being used as a churning rod by the thieves and athis of the universe. Churning rod, and I am simply offering my shell. Oh, what a big glory. Lord is not even visible, only the shell is visible. Everyone knows his pastime. This is the renunciation of the Lord, simply in the background, not wanting the credit. That is Vairagya. And then it's disclaimed. One more section is there of the Lord's vibhuti, which is discussed by Vishnu Chakri Thakur. And it is vibhuti of giving faith in the hearts of people, establishing dharma. And some beautiful incarnations are discussed in that regard. The first incarnation who established dharma by penetrating the hearts of people is Narad Muni. Narada Muni bhajai vina radhikaramana name. Simply playing his veena, he's going here and there, simply chanting the names of Radha and Krishna. His mind is absorbed in Krishna. And because of that, Krishna inspires him to do inconceivable things, inconceivable preaching. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada is honored as specially empowered by Narad Muni. Inconceivable. Who would conceive of going to the US with 40 rupees? 40 rupees doesn't mean anything. Nobody in the US will convert your 40 rupees into dollars even. So it's actually zero. At most, you may use it for wiping, you know, paper tissue. That's all 40 rupees is. But Prabhupada, he went there with faith in Krishna. And what did he do with that faith? I don't know. I don't have the qualification. Bhakti Vedanta name eve sarthak karo. But if you desire, O Lord, please fulfill the purport of my name, which is Bhakti Vedanta. So Prabhupada writes very beautifully in this third chapter. He writes, Narad Muni is the most expert physician. He can instill faith in the hearts of people simply by his humility. When there is genuine humility and genuine concern, there is faith you generate in the hearts of people. And that's what Narad Muni shows. Narad Muni is not fruitive. All his disciples have become big acharyas. Narad Muni is not associated with writing the scriptures. No, it's Vyasadev, the disciple of Narad Muni. So, it's explained that even Prahlad Maharaj, he went and offered prayers to Narsingadev, not Narad Muni. So Narad Muni, he's such a powerful preacher that he makes everyone else his own master. Just like Jayananda Prabhu, a few days back he celebrated his disappearance day. He would become temple president in a particular location. And then he would elevate the devotees, their consciousness, so much and make them so responsible that they would become temple presidents and he would serve under them. That's Narad Muni. Creating faith and establishing dharma far and wide. So Prabhupada writes, the physician directs the patient to take treated milk in the form of curd for his sufferings from indigestion due to his taking another milk preparation. So all living entities have taken one sort of milk preparation, which is bhog. So what does, or bhog or bhojan. But Narad Muni, he does bhajan, transforms that bhojan to bhajan. Simply wanting to enjoy, rather give enjoyment to Krishna. That's expert physician. The same milk preparation which causes stomach upset, curdled, it cures the stomach. That is Narad Muni's expert feature as a physician. Then Prabhupada talks about another personality who established dharma, Varaha. Sri Varaha, whose appearance we celebrated only a few weeks back. So it's explained that the earth had gone to the nether regions, the Pluto region, because of the atrocities of Hiranyaksha. And it's explained that incarnation of the board was to take the earth out of these Pluto regions of filth matter. Filth. It was filled with filth. Picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar. And the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the asuras who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. And he killed Hiranyaksha. Thus he established religion again, dharma again. Of course, as we discussed, every incarnation of the Lord also came to take up the burden of love, the burden of Mother Earth, who was Lord Varaha's consort, Bhudevi, to that burden of love as well. So Krishna always does, achieves multiple things in one incarnation. Vyasadeva is also discussed in terms of establishing dharma. He wrote the scriptures and knowledge, but also established dharma. Another incarnation who established dharma is Buddha. Lord Buddha, it's explained that at the time of Buddha, many people were slaughtering animals. Animal slaughter is very bad. Puman, what is that? Vinapashugnad. Puman virajyeta vinapashugnad. One who is a killer of animals, he cannot develop love for Krishna. So Lord Buddha, therefore, he preached non-violence, taking pity on the poor animals. Prabhupada writes, the faithless people at that time, who were killing animals in the name of Vedic rituals, they were made to believe in God in the form of Lord Buddha. That was the mercy of Lord Buddha. He made the faithless faithful to him. Sometimes the child doesn't want to follow anyone. So the father says, okay, don't follow anyone. I'm with you. We'll just be together. Whatever you do, I will do. And gradually the child gets faith in the father. So he says, father, tell me what I should do. Yes. So getting someone's faith is not easy. Lord Buddha performed that miracle in the most difficult of situations. He made the faithless faithful to him. And Prabhupada, in a conversation with Father Emmanuel, this is in Krishna Consciousness and Christianity. So Prabhupada says, it's a very powerful conversation he has. He says, quoting Bible, that thou shalt not kill. Prabhupada says, one cannot remain faithful to the holy names of the Lord if he is an animal killer. So therefore, one must stop killing animals to have faith in the holy names of the Lord. And Prabhupada says there are two kinds of animal killers. The first is the animal, and the second thing is a human animal. And biologists also says, you Homo sapiens, we are animals. So yes. So Pashugnath, if one kills this valuable human form of life, but by pursuing everything that is temporary, everything that is phantasmagoria, then actually we are just killers of the soul. And Lord Buddha also came to deliver such killers of soul. That is dharma. Therefore, these incarnations are so beautiful, displaying different opulences of the Lord, simply meant to attract our hearts to the Lord's lotus feet. And this beautiful chapter of Bhagavatam concludes with a crest jewel of all verses. Ete chamsa kalapumsaha krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam loke mridayanti yuge yuge. Yes, many kala and many amsha were discussed. Many portions of the Lord were discussed. Incarnations of the Lord who displayed one of these six opulences in full. But Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Lord Krishna is the origin of all these origins. If Lord Buddha is the origin of all non-violence, Lord Krishna is the origin of all non-violence, the origin of all origins. If Lord Parashuram is the origin of all valor, then Lord Krishna is the origin of all origins of valor. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. This verse is called the Paribhasa Sutra of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like you have a huge door, to open the door, you have so many nuts and bolts. But the key thing is the key. If you have the key, you have the key to open the door. And Paribhasa Sutra is like the key to the understanding of the different incarnations of the Lord. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is a source of all incarnations. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Bhagavan means one who is full of six opulences. But Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is not the source of, he is not born from anyone else. He is a source of all the incarnations. Who display these different opulences in full? It's explained that Lord, all the living entities, all of us, we can possess up to 78% of the qualities that the Lord has. 84% of the qualities of the Supreme Lord Krishna may be possessed by even Lord Shiva. But only Krishna possesses 100% of the divine qualities, 64 which are discussed in Nectar of Devotion. So therefore this verse is very important for devotees. And I thought it would be appropriate to discuss this verse after setting the context. The beautiful description of the incarnations of the Lord and how the Lord is the origin of all origins. Lord Brahma, I'll conclude this pastime, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th chapter, it discussed how the cowherd boys, the calves, and Krishna were having a fun time after killing Agasur. They were eating from each other's hands, grabbing from each other's hands, grabbing from each other's mouths while eating. And Brahma was seeing this. I thought he is God. I thought Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. How are they eating like this? So he wanted to test Krishna. He wanted to perform Krishna Vimohan Leela. So what he did? To do Krishna Vimohan Leela, he stole the cowherd boys and calves of Krishna. And Krishna, he was searching for them. Where are they? He had a morsel of food in his hand and he was searching for them. Where are they? And then Brahmaji took them away. When Brahmaji was not there, Krishna expanded himself as exact replicas of the cowherd boys and the calves. All these cowherd boys, their details are given. exact features. What they liked, what their preferences were, same. Nothing changed. A yogi, he can expand into seven at a time. Because there are seven rivers in India, seven sacred rivers. And the purpose of expanding into seven forms is to take bath in seven rivers simultaneously. That is the purpose. Not to show magic tricks. To take bath in seven sacred rivers. And the eighth is he himself, of course. So the eight expansions he can have at one time. But all the seven forms will do the same activity. If one is taking a dubki, other will also take a dubki. All synchronized movement. But Krishna, when he expanded as his cowherd boys, each of them was unique the way he was supposed to be. The mothers did realize. In fact, their affection for their own children grew. A year later, Brahma comes back and he sees, oh, all the cowherd boys and calves had stolen. They're still there. And they're all enjoying. And then Brahma saw suddenly, he saw everyone having 400 Vishnu forms. Not only that, he saw Prakriti, he saw Kala, he saw Guna. So Guna and Kala together give rise to Swabhav. He saw Karma, Swabhav. He saw Samskaras. All of these also as having 400 Vishnu forms. Completely bewildering. And then, when his heart was completely purified, Lord Krishna again showed him his simple two-handed form with a morsel of food in his hand, searching for the cowherd boys and cows. Brahmaji fell at the lotus feet of Krishna, and it's explained that he was crying tears called Sujalai, purified tears. Sometimes we cry tears, Krishna, when will my rounds get over? But Brahmaji's crying was Sujalai, purified crying. Prabhupada says, pretentious crying can wipe out all the conclusions of the scriptures. But his tears are filled with prayer. Krishna, when will I appreciate your mercy upon me? How foolish I am, Krishna. With all his four heads. In fact, it's explained that Brahmaji, he wanted Krishna to punish him. But Krishna was not punishing him. Therefore, he offered dandavat, which means he punished himself. I have to punish myself. Like a rod, golden rod, he fell in front of the Lord, begging forgiveness. And that state of complete appreciation for the Lord, he offers this beautiful prayer to Krishna. He says, Narayanastvam nahidar sarvadehinam atma sadiksha akhila loka sakshi Narayanongam narabhujalayanat tachapi satyam natavaiva maya. He's saying, are you not the original Narayana? O Krishna, are you not the original Narayana? O Supreme Controller, since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realm, your Narayana is simply your expansion. And he is called Narayana because he is a generating source of the primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory energy. So he is explaining here that Narayana is actually, the source of Narayana is Krishna. So Brahmaji also testifies this in Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda. Anadir Adir, here doesn't have a cause, but Adi Govinda. He is the origin of all origins. So with this prayer in our heart, and with a desire to develop appreciation for the different pastimes of the Lord, which are eternal, Nitya Navanavayaman, always a festival, we can pray to the Lord to help us develop this attitude so that we can have this festival all the time in our heart. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we can actually live in these pastimes. Prabhupada says in a purport, Krishna, who is there in the pages of Bhagavatam, will be seen by us face to face when we develop complete relish in the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. So with this prayer, I end. We don't have time for questions and answers, but thank you very much. Hare Krishna.